Howdy, folks. I'm fixing to tell y'all about Texas, nicknamed the Lone Star State.
I'm particularly fond of these. I pulled them out of a place on Midgard called Texas.
Don't mess with Texas?
That's the message.
I'm Walker, and I'm Texas Ranger.
Anything for Salinas.
Welcome to this week's episode of Texas Slang for Crazy. This week we're going to be discussing the San Antonio Four of the Satanic Panic. Content warning, this week we're discussing alleged sexual abuse. Now, while it didn't happen, I know that there are some listeners who are very sensitive to that kind of content. I also want to remind listeners that all of these people are still alive and well and should be treated with respect and that they have a right to privacy. So, just so we're all clear up front. For those of you who don't know about the Satanic Panic, be prepared to be really angry. In the 1980s, various preschools, parents, and child caretakers were accused of gang rapes and murders in the name of satanic rituals. This was all across the country. While the majority of the accused, and we're talking like 99%, vast majority, would go on to later be discovered to be entirely innocent, the experience destroyed lives of adults and children alike. People were locked up falsely for multiple years, lost their livelihoods, lost their families, led to divorces, kids were traumatized. Many of the kids underwent harsh interrogations where they were forced to agree with statements made by adults saying that someone had hurt them even when they hadn't. And usually that was a you can't go home until you tell the truth kind of situation. Today we do things a little bit differently, thank God. That is one of the only benefits that came out of this situation is that we have things that are like forensic interviews where you have a licensed professional who sits with the child, makes sure that they're comfortable and doesn't feed them information. They let them speak and share what actually happened to them. So that's at least one good thing that came from this. One of the cases in the Satanic Panic, the McMartin preschool trial, is today on record still the most expensive case in U.S. trial history. Yes, more than the O.J. Simpson trial. The media ate up these sensational stories and show trials where usually there was no evidence other than the testimony of a small child who had undergone traumatic interviews and the media. The Satanic Panic hit San Antonio hard, albeit very late on the timeline. While most of the accusations had died out across the rest of the country, San Antonio provided the last gasp of the panic. But as Dana Scully says in one of my favorite episodes of The X-Files, it's never a satanic cult. In the middle of this disaster, four lesbian Latinx women were accused of ritual abuse and gang raping a 9-year-old and her 7-year-old sister. The issue here was that the accused never abused these children. The four women were wrongfully convicted, ended up behind bars, lost several years of their lives. These women were Ana Vasquez, Cassandra Cassie Rivera, Elizabeth Liz Ramirez, and Christy Mayhew. Liz's two nieces came to stay for a week with all four women. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. They hung out kind of like a family. They had a regular great week together. If Liz wasn't available to be home, there was always somebody who could help. So they were covering a work schedule or something like that. They just treated each other well, hung out, and the girls had, as they admitted, a pretty great time. A few months later, all four women were accused of gang raping these little girls over a period of 2 days. The women were so surprised by the accusations, they didn't hire attorneys until late in the trial. They were offered a plea deal if they said that they were guilty, where they would get 10 years of probation, but of course they know they didn't do it, so they refused to take the plea bargain. Let's do a little bit of a breakdown. Liz Ramirez went through a rough patch at the end of high school, so she ended up living with her sister and her sister's then husband, Javier Limon. While Limon today still highly contests this, he and Liz's sister divorced, but when Liz was 16, he was sending highly romantic letters to her and calling her his angel. These letters were never presented at trial. Liz very much turned down his affections. I mean, it's pretty creepy to have some guy hit on you when you're 16 who's divorced your sister, right? There were a great amount of issues with the supposed evidence that came forward. The only real evidence was testimony from the two little girls, and it seemed very coached, like someone had taught them what to say. The testimony stated that all four women had participated in the abuse, that there was some white powder. But here's the thing, during the week, all four women had very different work schedules, and they weren't at the apartment at the same time. The descriptions of the abuse seem pretty clearly like a man's image of a satanic lesbian ritual, like a horror movie or a porno. This wasn't the first time that Javier Limón's daughters had been made to make claims against a person, actually. That's something that also didn't come to trial, but there was a person who was accused of sexually assaulting them who did take the plea deal and was there for about 10 years. The only physical evidence presented at the trial was a report that the girls' hymens were scarred and it looked as if they had been assaulted. But the problem here is that this is all junk science. Now, during the trial, it was made to be very clear evidence of abuse, but years later, this was debunked. After doing additional research on female bodies, these variations in the hymen were actually considered to be completely normal variations, and so that got thrown out a long time later. The women's lives as lesbians were not supposed to be shared during the trial or jury selection, as finding a non-homophobic jury was a serious challenge in San Antonio at the time. Unfortunately, the DA disclosed this information at the start of jury selection. Those who had admitted to having negative views of the LGBT community were not removed from the jury pool. The foreman of the jury even advised later he felt that Liz Ramirez should have been convicted for life, even though there was no real evidence against her. Even during the trial, when the little girls came into the courtroom to testify, one of them waved very excitedly at her Aunt Liz. Liz would be sentenced to over 30 years in prison. Her friends were tried together in a separate trial and received about 15 years each. Years later, the youngest girl from the story came forward and told what she says is the truth. She revealed herself as one of the Liz's nieces that had testified. She said, like most children, she and her sister had seen television shows with sexually explicit content. And like most kids, they had acted this out with their Barbie dolls. I know I was guilty of this as a kid. I know pretty much everyone in my life who played with Barbies did this at some point in time. When they were caught by their grandmother, the two girls were locked in a closet and asked over and over, "Who showed you that filth?" After their grandmother began to give multiple scenarios, the girls followed her lead and repeated back the things that their grandma had said in an attempt to get out of this closet. This girl says her father and grandmother would tell the girls if they didn't follow what they were directed in court, they would go to prison themselves. She advised that her father told her that if she came forward as an adult, he would have her children taken away. She admits today to still being terrified of her father. Ana Vasquez was the first of the girls to get out of prison, of the women who were accused, and every minute she wasn't working, she was advocating for her three friends who were still sitting in jail. The documentary Southwest of Salem follows the case of the San Antonio Four, and it is extremely jarring to watch, but amazing viewing and definitely something that you should watch if you're interested in things like the Innocence Project or people who are wrongfully accused. It's hard to watch, though, because I know the San Antonio. They go to a courthouse I've served jury duty in. You can see all the tourist destinations in the background. While the women's convictions were overturned and the women were released, they were still required to register as sex offenders in the state of Texas and declare this information if they were going for a job, moving into a particular area. One of the women at the time could not take a job because it was too close to a school. They all agreed, all four women, that they would not rest until their records were overturned. Thanks to financing from the Texas Innocence Project in 2016 and the support of multiple people who came forward, researched the story, and did a lot of work, including a Canadian gentleman, all four women were declared innocent by the Texas Court of Appeals and everything was overturned entirely. So it's been expunged from their records. Each woman was awarded $80,000 for each year that they were falsely imprisoned, but no money can bring back those years that they've lost. Today, Ana Vasquez worked with the Texas Innocent Project in order to help others who have experienced wrongful conviction and imprisonment. So remember, just because somebody has been convicted of a crime does not necessarily mean that they are guilty of it. Today's resources were pretty extensive. I'm going to include them. If you feel so led, the Texas Innocence Project is actually innocencetexas.org. They do a lot of work out here. They research cases. They go through information, especially where there is DNA evidence that didn't line up or wasn't done properly. They're a really great organization to get behind, especially if you're worried about things like the school-to-prison pipeline, or, you know, cases where people have been human trafficked and things like that, and, you know, are accused of particular crimes that they were doing for survival. Really, really interesting website, really interesting group of people. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I know it's kind of a long one and that there's a lot of information here. I definitely recommend checking out that documentary, Southwest of Salem. They go into way more detail than I ever possibly could on this. And there's a great website called fourliveslost.com that documents everything that the women went through. So thank you for listening to this week's episode. Ana Vasquez, I doubt you're going to be listening to this, but if you do, thank you so much for all the work that you do and how much you fought for your sisters. So have a great day.